I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
I apologize for the grief that we have caused. And I want you to know we are totally committed in their memory to work and focus on safety for as long as we're employed by Boeing.
Boeing CEO David Calhoun appears before a Senate committee and apologizes to the victims of the crashes of 737 MAX jets in Indonesia and Ethiopia that left all 346 people dead. He came under fire for Boeing's lapses in safety procedures and retaliation against whistleblowers. We'll speak with Nadia Milleron, whose daughter was killed in the Ethiopian Airlines flight in 2019. Nadia Milleron is now running for Congress in Massachusetts. Then, how the Pentagon ran a secret anti-vax campaign to undermine China during the pandemic. We'll speak with the investigative reporter who broke the story. And President Biden announces an executive action to streamline the path to citizenship for some 500,000 people married to American citizens but lack legal status.
This action is a better way. It doesn't tear families apart while requiring every undocumented spouse to fulfill their obligations under the law.
We'll speak with Delia Ramirez, the first Latina Congress member to represent Illinois. She's also the wife of a DACA recipient who'll benefit from Biden's new policy. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The UN Human Rights Office has accused Israel of systematically violating the laws of war by using heavy bombs to destroy civilian infrastructure in densely populated areas of Gaza. In a new report, the UN office examined six Israeli attacks that targeted residential buildings, a school, refugee camps, and a market. The UN verified at least 218 people died in those six attacks. Meanwhile, Navi Pillay, the chair of a separate UN inquiry into the war, testified before the UN Human Rights Council.
Israeli authorities are responsible for war crimes, crimes against humanity, and violations of international humanitarian and human rights law, including extermination, intentionally directing attacks against civilians and civilian objects, murder or willful killing, using starvation as a method of war, forcible gender persecution targeting Palestinian men and boys, sexual and gender-based violence amounting to torture and cruel or inhuman treatment.
During her testimony, the UN's Navi Pillay also accused Hamas and Islamic Jihad of committing war crimes. The UN's findings are being shared with the International Criminal Court. This comes as the official death toll in Gaza has topped 37,400. On Wednesday, an Israeli airstrike killed nine Palestinians as they waited for aid trucks at the Kerem Shalom crossing. At least eight more Palestinians were killed in Rafah. Meanwhile, officials in Gaza say Israel's destroyed the Palestinian side of the Rafah border crossing, which connects Gaza to Egypt. The crossing has been closed since Israel seized the area in early May. The White House has canceled a high-level meeting with Israeli officials that was set for today after Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu released a video Tuesday accusing the U.S. of withholding military aid to Israel.
When Secretary Blinken was recently here in Israel, we had a candid conversation. I said I deeply appreciated the support the U.S. has given Israel from the beginning of the war. But I also said something else. I said it's inconceivable that in the past few months, the administration has been withholding weapons and ammunition to Israel. Israel, America's closest ally, fighting for its life, fighting against Iran and our other common enemies.
The White House rejected Netanyahu's claim, pointing out President Biden has paused just one shipment of heavy bombs since the war began. Two key Democratic lawmakers recently signed off on an $18 billion military package for Israel involving the sale of 50 F-15 fighter jets. In other news from Israel, a top Israeli military spokesperson has admitted Hamas can't be destroyed, a claim that appears to contradict Netanyahu's stated aim of the war on Gaza. In an interview, Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari said, quote, Hamas is an idea. Hamas is a party. It's rooted in the hearts of the people. Anyone who thinks we can eliminate Hamas is wrong, the IDF spokesperson said. Tensions continuing to escalate between Israel and the Lebanese group Hezbollah. On Wednesday, Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah warned his forces could strike anywhere inside Israel. Nasrallah also threatened to target Cyprus if it allows Israel to use its air bases to attack Lebanon. His warning came a day after Israel's foreign minister, Israel Katz, threatened to wage an all-out war against Hezbollah. Russian President Vladimir Putin has arrived in Vietnam after making his first visit to North Korea in 24 years. On Wednesday, Putin and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un signed a mutual defense pact. Putin spoke in Pyongyang.
The comprehensive partnership agreement signed today includes, among other, mutual assistance in the event of aggression against one of the parties to this agreement.
That was Kim Jong-un. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has attacked President Biden's move to shield from deportation some half a million undocumented immigrants who are married to U.S. citizens. Under the new rules, the spouses will be able to apply for work permits and permanent residency, giving them a pathway to citizenship. Trump has vowed to mass deport millions of immigrants if he's elected in November. The two candidates will hold their first debate on July 27th. We'll have more on Biden's immigration plan later in the broadcast. In Saudi Arabia, the number of Muslim pilgrims who've died amidst a searing heat wave in the holy city of Mecca has topped 900 after temperatures this week soared above 125 degrees Fahrenheit. Thousands have been treated for heat exhaustion. Climate scientists warn the risk of heat stroke will continue to rise for the millions of Muslims who make the annual Hajj pilgrimage. This is Fahad Sayed, a scientist at Climate Analytics.
We must do climate action to stop the global warming at 1.5 degrees centigrade. At anything beyond that, I mean, we are putting those pilgrims at the risk of death.
In India, emergency workers have recovered the bodies of more than 50 unhoused people who've died over the last 2 days as daytime temperatures soared above 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Indian health officials have logged over 40,000 suspected heat stroke cases so far this year. In the Gulf of Mexico, Tropical Storm Alberto has made landfall, bringing heavy rains, flooding, and storm surge to northeastern Mexico and southern Texas. At least three deaths have been reported. Alberto is the first named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season. Forecasts are predicting a well above normal hurricane season. Elsewhere in the United States, the National Weather Service has issued heat alerts across 14 states today as an early season heat wave is high temperature records. Forecasters are predicting heat indexes of up to 105 degrees Fahrenheit in several cities from the Midwest to the Northeast. New Mexico's governor has declared a state of emergency and called up the National Guard after a pair of fast-growing wildfires destroyed more than 1,400 structures, including an estimated 500 homes. Firefighters say at least two people have been killed. Thousands more have been forced to evacuate, including the entire New Mexico village of Ruidoso, population 7,000.
It's definitely the largest fire that I've ever worked. The most damage. Looking at our neighbors, our community, our family, our friends, and looking at everything that they've worked for their entire lives just lost in a matter of seconds, it's very devastating.
The National Interagency Fire Center reports 21 large wildfires are currently burning across the western United States. A new study finds air pollution caused over 8 million deaths in 2021, killing more than 2,000 young children every day. The report from the Health Effects Institute finds air pollution's effects are highly disproportionate, with children in low and middle-income countries far more likely to be affected. The study warns the climate crisis is worsening air quality, with prolonged severe droughts and wildfires ravaging once thriving forests and filling the air with fine particulate matter. In the United Kingdom, two climate activists were arrested at a London airport this morning after they doused private jets with orange paint. Among the jets reportedly at London's Stansted Airport during the protest was a private plane owned by pop superstar Taylor Swift. The group Just Stop Oil said in a statement, quote, billionaires are not untouchable. Climate breakdown will affect every single one of us, unquote. The protest came a day after Just Stop Oil activists sprayed orange paint on the ancient megaliths of Stonehenge. The protesters are demanding the UK government sign a legally binding treaty to phase out all fossil fuels by 2030. French police have arrested 11 people in the Pacific territory of New Caledonia, including the head of the local independence movement, following weeks of protests over voting reforms pushed by France. Thousands of extra French police officers remain on the archipelago. Last week, French President Emmanuel Macron agreed to suspend the reforms. In Sudan, at least three people were killed on Wednesday when fighters from the RSF, the Rapid Support Forces, shelled a hospital in Omdurman. Doctors Without Borders reported the shelling injured 27 people. Meanwhile, at the UN, Sudan accused the United Arab Emirates of fueling Sudan's civil war by arming the RSF. In news from Kenya, more than 200 protesters were arrested Tuesday in Nairobi in protests against proposed tax hikes. Police fired tear gas at the crowd and arrested observers from Amnesty International. In response to the protests, Kenyan lawmakers have dropped parts of the controversial bill, including a proposed tax hike on bread. The Biden administration's approved selling 1,000 armed drones to Taiwan as part of a new $360 million weapons package. The sale includes 720 lightweight switchblade one-way attack drones that have also been used in Ukraine's war against Russia. In Colorado, the shooter who killed five people and injured more than a dozen others at a Denver LGBTQ 22 has pleaded guilty to 74 federal charges, including hate crimes. Prosecutors agreed not to pursue the death penalty in exchange for the deal, which will see the sentence to 55 concurrent life sentences without the possibility of parole. The shooter's already serving consecutive life sentences after pleading guilty to state murder charges last year. Louisiana's Republican Governor Jeff Landry has signed legislation requiring the Ten Commandments be displayed in the classroom at every public school from elementary to college. The American Civil Liberties Union of Louisiana has vowed to sue on religious freedom grounds. In a statement with other groups, the ACLU said, quote, our public schools are not Sunday schools, and students of all faiths or no faith should feel welcome in them, unquote. Under the new law, classrooms must post a copy of the Ten Commandments no smaller than 11 by 14 inches. The world-renowned linguist and dissident Noam Chomsky was discharged from a Sao Paulo hospital in Brazil Tuesday as he continues to recover from a stroke last year that impacted his ability to speak. His wife, Valeria, recently told a newspaper in Brazil the 95-year-old Noam Chomsky still follows the news and raises his left arm in anger when he sees images of Israel's war on Gaza. False reports that Noam Chomsky had died went viral online on Tuesday. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Boeing CEO David Calhoun appeared before the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations Tuesday to face questioning about how the aerospace giant's responding to safety concerns amidst ongoing investigations by authorities. Just hours before Calhoun's testimony, the Senate Subcommittee released a damning report on Boeing based on a number of whistleblower complaints and previously undisclosed government findings, which found Boeing lost track of hundreds of substandard aircraft parts, eliminated quality quality inspectors and put manufacturing workers in charge of signing off on their own work. Boeing's been under scrutiny for years amidst a series of high-profile incidents, beginning with the crashes of 737 MAX jets in Indonesia in 2018 and Ethiopia in 2019 that left all 346 people on board dead. At Tuesday's hearing, Calhoun began by turning to the families of victims of the two crashes who were in attendance and issuing an apology.
Before I begin my opening remarks, I would like to speak directly to those who lost loved ones on Lion Air Flight 610 and the Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302. I would like to apologize on behalf of all of our Boeing associates spread throughout the world, past and present, for your losses. They're gut-wrenching. And I apologize for the grief that we have caused. And I want you to know we are totally committed in their memory to work and focus on safety for as long as we're employed by Boeing. So again, I'm sorry.
During Tuesday's hearing, the Boeing CEO came under fire for the company's lapses in safe manufacturing procedures, violations of safety regulations, retaliation against whistleblowers. This is the chair of the Senate subcommittee, Connecticut Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal.
What we've seen since from whistleblowers is that, in fact, the manufacturing issues, the retaliation against whistleblowers, non-conforming parts, quality inspections skipped, and issues concealed from the FAA, evidence hidden, all have continued. And there is mounting evidence that the deferred prosecution agreement concluded in 2021 with the United States Department of Justice has been violated. In fact, there is near overwhelming evidence, in my view as a former prosecutor, that prosecution should be pursued. When you were named as Boeing's chief executive, Mr. Calhoun, we were told that you were the right person to correct course, and you committed to, quote, strengthen Boeing's safety culture and rebuild trust with our customers, regulators, suppliers, and the flying public.
Tuesday's hearing marked the Boeing CEO's first appearance before Congress since an in-flight door panel blowout aboard a 737 MAX jet in January, which did not substantially injure anyone but brought new legal and political scrutiny. Meanwhile, the families of victims of the two 737 MAX crashes sent a letter to the Justice Department Wednesday seeking aggressive prosecution of Boeing and criminal prosecution of its then corporate leadership, as well as the imposition of a $24 billion fine. We're joined right now by Nadia Milleron, aviation safety advocate whose daughter, Sami Rose Stumo, was killed along with 156 others when Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302, a Boeing 737 MAX, crashed in 2019. Nadia Milleron attended the hearing on Tuesday. She's one of the signatories of the letter to the Justice Department, and she's now running for Congress in the 1st District of Massachusetts as an independent. Nadia Milleron joins us from Sheffield, from her home. Welcome to Democracy Now!, Nadia. You were there holding up together with your husband the picture of Samia, your daughter, who died in that Ethiopian Boeing flight. Can you respond to first the CEO turning around to all of you and apologizing?
Yes, he actually walked down the line of us and apologized to each person. He looked at me in the eye, and so I looked at him back and I said, how can you apologize? Are you also sorry for the deaths of innocent people that your bombs are causing in Rafah? And at that point, he just turned away from me. So if you are really sorry, if you really are not wanting to profit from death, then you would respond. You would stick it out. You would look at the person. Another mother started crying when he apologized to her. Again, when she started crying, he just turned away, walked away from her. So that is a rehearsed apology. And he is benefiting from all kinds of deaths. So he's gotten bonuses for killing all of our family members. He has a 42% increase in his salary, causing the Alaska blowout. So it's on his watch that happened. So he's very disingenuous. He kept saying, I've only been here since 2020. Yes, he's only been the CEO since 2020, but he's been involved in all these decisions. He's been on the board. He's been integrally involved in keeping the MAX flying during his tenure at Boeing. So it's disingenuous to talk about 2020. He can't, you know, stick it out and really listen to us highlighting what he is doing, earning money from the death of innocents. So I just want to paint an entire picture of a character that appeared. That hearing showed a human being, and what is he about? A person who needs to be prosecuted. His company needs to be prosecuted.
Can you talk about what you feel Boeing needs to do right now, and the revelations that keep on coming out about the lack of oversight or people overseeing their own work, and the whistleblowers coming forward and the whistleblowers who have died?
So John Barnett, who they say died by suicide, his whole family was there at the hearing, and they were holding pictures of John. John Barnett was a person who was very skilled in Boeing, and he was moved from Seattle to South Carolina to make sure that they did the work properly. And in South Carolina, the people harassed him just because he wanted the planes to be safe and he wanted the work to be done correctly. They harassed him for 7 years. When the CEO, Dave Calhoun, was asked by the Senate panel what happened to the person who harassed all these whistleblowers? What happened to those supervisors? He said he didn't know, but most of them are in their jobs and most of them have gotten promoted. So, you know, the fact that he said he didn't know, it's completely disingenuous. The culture of Boeing is to reward. So just let's step back a second. Why is Dave Calhoun paid $32 million? He's paid that money to cut costs. That's what he's good at. So he's not good at production. He's not an engineer. He's paid to strip mine the company. And that's what he's doing. So he promotes people. The company promotes people. The culture of the company is to short their product, which is opposite to success of the company. What we would like them to do is make good products. And I think this letter that we just sent the Justice Department is absolutely a brilliant solution, because Boeing is motivated by money. And so if they have a fine hanging over their head and an outside monitor, we believe that this is a way that they would actually change their behavior. So Boeing has metrics. They had metrics in 2015. And Richard Blumenthal, the senator, he pointed this out during the hearing, and he showed a chart. So in 2015, when they were fined, and they were fined many times, and for Boeing, fines are just the cost of doing business. And also they use insurance to cover deaths. So that's also a cost of doing business. So they don't feel any pain from deaths or these problems that are coming up. So what we're proposing to the Justice Department is that there's an outside monitor, and that this huge fine be over Boeing's head, and that the outside monitor makes sure there's compliance. And then, because the fine is going to the government, so it doesn't actually benefit anybody. So what we want is behavior change on the part of Boeing, and that they actually comply with their own metrics. So in 2015, they said, we're gonna do this and this and this. And then in 2024, they said the same thing. And they cut and paste the words. So it's the same metrics that they're saying they're going to comply with, but they didn't do anything between 2015 and 2024. It's the same metrics that they have that they're not complying with. So that's what we want. We want them to produce safe planes. It's pretty simple.
A new whistleblower, a Boeing quality assurance investigator, Sam Mohawk, recently reported the systemic disregard of potentially defective parts at the 737 factory. Can you talk about what this means?
It's just part of the same problem where people are not focused on production. You know, they need a CEO who knows how to, who knows about manufacturing, who cares about manufacturing, and who can attend to the details. They need to clean house. Well, they need to clean house in terms of their leadership, because their leadership is not producing their good product that they used to produce. So they need, you know, I can't believe, I think it was one of the senators who told Dave Calhoun that he should resign. He should resign for the health of his company. He's destroying the company.
Nadja Milleron, are you calling for criminal prosecutions? Talk about of the company and of individuals?
Yes, we're definitely calling for criminal prosecutions of Muhlenberg, because there's a lot of evidence that
he participated. Who was the CEO at the time?
Yes, yes, yes. So there's a lot, there's plenty of evidence to prosecute him. I personally think that Dave Calhoun should also be prosecuted, but the Justice Department is saying they don't have sufficient evidence right now to prosecute him, but I think it is there.
Talk about your decision to go a step further, to actually run for Congress, and why you're taking on Richard Neal, one of the most powerful men in Congress, formerly head of the Ways and Means Committee, in the 2020 filing, the largest recipient of corporate PAC money in Congress.
Yep. Yeah, so Richard Neal was non-responsive to us in our efforts to get aviation safety. That bill passed bipartisan. It passed unanimously in a divided Congress and under the Trump administration. So that was a tremendous achievement. And we had to walk all over Congress and go to every single office and talk to every single person. And while I was doing that, I was also grieving, so I was crying. But we were tremendously effective. Everybody flies, so it's an issue that everybody can agree on. But Richard Neal didn't help us. And then I found out that he doesn't help a lot of his constituents. And so it's really important. These issues are systemic in our society. You know, we're not attending to, for example, just look at this confluence of events. Boeing is bombing, participating in bombing in Palestine, and then they don't sell any MAX planes last month. And so who buys all the MAX planes? Israel. But we're actually, it's our tax dollars that are actually paying for all of this. So we're giving all this money for foreign aid to a country that already has complete health care for all their people and housing. And those are things we need. Our people, our tax money needs to be here. We have so much suffering going on in our country and in our district. And so Richard Neal is participating in all this. He's pro-genocide. He's throwing more and more money at this situation, and I'm against it. So I would spend that money here at home. And that's what our constituents need, and that's what they want. We have a shortage of doctors in our district. People are suffering from extreme health problems because they can't be seen. So Richard Neal is not in touch with the district. He doesn't meet with people. He's responding to his funders, and he has $3.4 million to run this race, but only $28,000 from individuals. So I have to appeal to individual people. So I'm running. I need to somehow get to $1 million to compete with his $3.4 million. And I have to tell people to go to NadiaForCongress.com. So I have to appeal to individuals for that kind of funding.
Nadja Milleron, I want to thank you for being with us, aviation safety advocate, after her daughter Samia Rose Stumo was killed, along with 156 others, when the Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302, a Boeing 737 MAX, crashed in 2019, right after another Boeing MAX flight crashed in Indonesia. Nadja Milleron is running for Congress in the 1st District of Massachusetts, speaking to us from her home in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Next up, how the Pentagon ran a secret anti-vax campaign to undermine China during the pandemic. We'll speak with the investigative reporter who broke the story. Back in 20 seconds. Thank you.
Cuento.